This is what nobody got first and second hour. This is what people were mad at me first hour. I said, I'm going to have to skip that one and we'll just, I'll do it tonight. And they're like, oh, come on. You know, they're throwing stuff. It was really ugly in here. Check it out. The departure. And this is awesome. And I want you to see it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which has been seen as a problem passage for this whole rapture of the church. Let me show you something. Some in the Thessalonian church, because of a letter or something that was being circulated, feared that the day of the Lord had already started. Some of these Thessalonican Christians were saying, oh no, did we miss it? Did the rapture happen? Are we in the day of the Lord? Perhaps it's not a pre-tribulation rapture after all. Maybe it's mid-trib or post-trib. What's going on? They were concerned. They were upset. And so Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians to address that issue. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he writes, now we request you, brethren, with regard to two things, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him. Two issues here. The glorious appearing of Jesus and the rapture, our gathering together to Him. He says, we request, verse 2, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter as if from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. The day of the Lord. Someone's circulating something saying the tribulation's begun. And Paul says, no, it hasn't. Don't be disturbed. Yeah, you're facing tribulations, little t, but this is not the day of the Lord, the tribulation. It hasn't come yet. He says, let no one in any way deceive you. Now watch closely. For it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. This word, apostasy, has caused so much problem and difficulty in the church. Well, Paul says, the apostasy has to come and the man of lawlessness revealed and then the tribulation gets going. And so where's the rapture and all that? How does it fit into this perspective? Let me give you a little word study. And I hope if you got a little drowsy that you're back, because you got to get this. The apostasy. First of all, it's not just apostasy. It's the apostasia is the Greek word. It's ho apostasia. Ho apostasia. The apostasia. That word, that ho, is a definite article. It's talking not about some generic or general concept. If we just read apostasy, you know, the church kind of fallen away, this apostasy, this generic thing happening. No, it's the apostasia. It's talking very specifically. You don't need that definite article in front of apostasia to use the word there at all. It's there on purpose. The apostasia. So understand that first. Secondly, apostasia is from two Greek words put together, apo and stasia. Apo means from. Stasia means stand. So literally, apostasia means to stand from or to move from this place to that place. You're moving from one place to another. Okay? Does that make sense? We have the word apostasy. You have moved from faith. You have moved from sound doctrine into false teaching. Apostasy, apostasia, you've moved from to. Okay? You stand from. In the noun form, apostasia, this word is used two times in the New Testament as a noun. It's used right here in 2 Thessalonians. And it's used in Acts chapter 21, verse 21. And in that context, Paul is being told that some of the Jews were upset with him. They have been told about you, we read in Acts 21:21, that you are teaching all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses. Apostasia. To stand from Moses. To move away from Moses. Telling them not to circumcise their children, nor to walk according to the customs. In that context, apostasia means to leave or to depart from. Okay? To leave or depart from the teachings of Moses. It's used twice that way in the New Testament. In the verb form, it's used 15 times, and 13 of the 15 times this phrase, this word apostasia, is used as a verb, it is translated to depart. See, the King James reads It will not come unless the falling away comes first. The New American Standard Bible reads, it will not come unless the apostasy comes first. We know the word apostasy. We use that all the time. The apostate church, apostasy, falling away, falling into sin, falling into false teaching. That's apostasy. The problem is the word apostasia doesn't just mean to fall away from. It means to depart. It means to depart. As in physically departing from a geographical location. Listen to this. Listen to it read that way. Let no one in any way deceive you. It will not come unless the departure comes first. The departure? Could that be a reference to the rapture of the church rather than the falling away of the church? The departure? All of this stuff isn't going to happen until the departure happens first. Well, Rick, you're stretching it a little bit. Really? Because of this translation, this understanding of the word apostasia, the first seven English translations of the Bible translated the word departure. The Wycliffe Bible, first English translation in 1384, this verse is translated, unless the departure comes first. And it was understood what the departure meant. In 1526, the Tyndale Bible. In 1535, the Cloverdale Bible. In 1539, the Cranmer Bible. In 1576, the Breeches Bible, or it was called the Great Bible. In 1583, the Beza Bible. And finally, in 1608, the Bible, by the way, that the pilgrims used, the Geneva Bible, translated this, it will not come unless the departure comes first. It wasn't until the King James Bible came along that it was translated the falling away. But even there, there was an understanding in 1611 when the King James was written, an understanding that the falling away meant falling away from earth, as opposed to falling away from faith. Interesting. Kenneth West's word studies, or Woustai, however you want to say it, probably the best Greek scholar of the last generation, and you ought to pick up, if you don't have them, copies of Woust's or West's Word Studies. W-U-E-S-T. He's got three or four small volumes that are word studies through the Greek New Testament. And Kenneth Woust says, first and foremost, apostasia means a geographical departure. That is the primary translation of the word. And beyond that, the Lytle and Scott's Greek lexicon, another standard among conservative Bible scholars, describes or translates apostasia as either defection or departure. Departure. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the departure comes first. Now that's the way it was translated in the first seven English Bibles. That was the understanding. The departure. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. So people say, well, we see Antichrist, not according to the Bible. We're raptured. Rapture first. Pre-tribulation. And then Antichrist is revealed. Although even then, people won't really know who he is until midway through the tribulation. Watch this, verse 4. Antichrist, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Do you not remember, Paul says, that while I was still with you, I was telling you these things? What things? About the departure. The only place that we can track where Paul told them these things is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The rapture of the church. The departure. And verse 6, you know what restrains him now, so that in his time he will be revealed. The mystery of lawlessness is at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. That is the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all powers and signs of false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. What are you telling us, Paul? He's saying there is a restraining influence in the world today. Antichrist cannot come on the scene until that restraining influence is removed. What is the restraining influence? It is the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit intimately connected to? the church. Why do I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture? Because until the church and the Holy Spirit are taken out of the way, Antichrist cannot rise. According to Paul's words, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Even if you want to say this word departure, if you want to say, no, I believe it's the apostasy, fine. The apostasy comes, Antichrist rises, but Antichrist cannot rise. He cannot come to power until the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit and the church are out of the way. Part of what we're doing in the church, in the world right now, is restraining the evil of Antichrist. Did you know that? That's part of why we're here. By our prayers, by our worship, by our loving one another, by our caring about other people, we are restraining. The Holy Spirit in us is restraining the tide of evil. A pre-tribulation rapture, the doctrine of imminence, this whole idea, this teaching, this departure, all of this came. We are looking for Jesus Christ, not Antichrist. We are listening for Him to call that we might depart and be with Him. If we look for Jesus Christ, gang, we will not depart from the truth. We will depart when He calls us. That's the departure we will be part of.